This is episode 30 of the Reading Coves podcast. If you're a book lover who may be interested in joining our online book club, please visit our website at thereadingcove.com. For May 2013, we're discussing The Scorpio Races by Maggie Stiefvater. So hi, I'm Melanie in Florida.
I'm Roberta from Georgia.
I'm Monica from Nebraska.
And we are gathered today to discuss our 150th pick, The Scorpio Races by Maggie Stiefvater. And this was chosen by Cove member Joyce. And let's just dive right in. So how did you guys like it?
I thought it was a little slow in the beginning, but after about somewhere between 50 and 100 pages, it started picking up and I breezed right through it.
They seemed like to have a lot of exposition at the beginning, mm-hmm. but after that, you really got into more of the main plot line and what was going on with the various characters.
Yeah, and for me, I think the prologue was the most interesting part. Sean and his dad, and when the father died in the races.
Yeah.
That I thought was really interesting. And then as I continued and you're reading about Puck and how they're orphaned, she and her two brothers. And then she decides, because they're about to lose their home and the older brother's going to leave them, wants to leave and go to the mainland, I think it was, leave
right.
the island.
Right.
And then she decides, on a whim, okay, I'm going to go join the races. I just thought after that it became pretty predictable. And of course, it was no surprise that as the first girl to join, she wins, of course.
Well,
it was just got kind of boring, and the build up to the final race was just dragged out, and it just wasn't my cup of story.
Yeah, I figured she would win too, and I guess what kind of got me is that nobody seemed to care that people died.
It's kind of
like, oh, another one died. Oh well, it's just nobody cared, and even when Matt died, it's like his dad didn't really seem to care at all. It seems like life just goes on.
It's expected.
But it was just the typical thing. Like they said, it was an annual thing. So it's almost like a sacrificial event because they knew someone was probably not going to make it.
Yeah. And it was a unique premise that these man-eating wild mad horses emerge from the sea every November or whatever. And people try to tame them and ride them and race them for prizes and stuff. And I don't know. It just was strange.
Very strange. Well, I mean, I think you just have to look at it as fantasy, not
yeah.
huge built-up fantasy, say like Game of Thrones or some of these other epic
right.
fantasies. But it was just a fantasy-type story that, maybe you look at, was it worth it to win, when the chances of losses or being maimed for life, was it really worth it to do this? But it was just the thing to do in that community. It was the annual type event.
I don't read a lot of fantasy, so it's not really my genre, but I actually kind of enjoyed this one.
There were several people who really liked it, and we haven't started our discussion yet, but some people were talking about the relationship between Sean and Puck, that they like that.
I guess I didn't really see any. I mean, at the end, he was concerned about her. They seemed to have a relationship, but I guess I really didn't see so much of a relationship development between them. It's like,
yeah, I didn't get a big sense of that either.
It was like Sean and his story, Puck and her story, and they didn't really seem to merge a lot until the end there. And I'm like, okay, wait, when did they become such?
And then, of course, Sean's horse. What was his horse's name? Core.
Yeah, I felt like I learned a lot, even though horse stories aren't my usual genre either. I mean, you could tell a lot of this may have been aimed at the young adult, because it seems like a lot of young girls go through their horse stage, where they just love horses, can't get enough of reading books about them, and, want to own a horse and everything, too, so... But it was still interesting to learn some more different things that pick up from that about horses. The real horses, so not so much as the fantasy horses.
Right. Yeah. So any memorable scenes? Favorite characters?
Well, you had to root for Puck because she was like the underdog and had everything to lose. I mean, the bank, I guess they had to be the way they were, but it seemed kind of hard-hearted is like, well, you know, if you don't come up with the money, you're out on the street. So your young kid, I mean, what is she going to do? You know, she's probably too old to be adopted, and she's too young to be out there, you know, trying to earn a living. She'd have to go away just like Gabe was planning on, because it didn't seem like there was a whole lot going on where they live. Most people, you know, tended to move away.
Right.
I like Sean. I think he was my favorite character. He just seemed interesting with the way he trained the horses and, you know, his dealings with Mutt and whatever Mutt's dad's name was. And I found more character development with him throughout, more than anybody else throughout the whole book.
Yeah, and it opened with him and his dad, and learned from his father dying that his father was scared. And he felt that that's why he succumbed and he didn't make it.
Well, yeah, to ride those horses, you would have to be really make yourself almost fearless,
mm-hmm.
or you could, you know, easily have an accident or be hurt.
So it almost seems like the story was really his story in a sense.
Right.
More so than Puck.
Yeah, I mean, she was underdog, but really the story did emphasize a lot about Sean and what he'd had to deal with, too, and how he had to mature and face a lot of things.
Right.
I like that thing about you'd be dreaming of toilets on the way to Damascus rather than
epiphanies. Yeah.
I don't come across too many really clever lines these days, or if I do, I forget to copy them down to post them. But I thought, ooh, I'm going to write this down with my quiz questions so I can remember this, because this is a goodie.
Yeah, that was fun.
So I thought that was very clever.
One thing I found kind of annoying was the reference to the water horses. I can't say the word, but it was used constantly. It's like, can't they just put something in there other than that? Because it just became very repetitive. And, you know, maybe a noun or a pronoun or something. Just
the Kapal you cease or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, they're like 20 times a page. I mean, it's so... So annoying.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, once they define what that meant, then the rest of the book, they could just say water horses or the wild horses or something. Because, yeah, sometimes the repetition doesn't necessarily help you. It just, like Monica says, it either makes you annoyed or feel, does this author think I'm stupid and can't remember this?
And that, and I can't pronounce it. So,
well, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm like, okay, that word, you know, in my head. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. I, you know.
Yeah, well, it was the narrator, because it was Puck and Sean interchangeably narrating the story, right?
Right.
So they're the ones who are using that term.
Well, they needed to find new things to say.
Well, I think this book is a hit with the target audience. I think it's successful, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because my copy, I really love the packaging. I have a hardcover copy, and it's embossed on the, you know, the front and on the spine. And I really like the kind of parchment paper that it's printed on. It looks like a really well put together book.
True, yeah.
All right, so that's going to be our take on The Scorpio Races by Maggie Stiefvater. And we want to thank our listeners for listening, as always, and encourage you to leave us your comments and let us know what you thought about it. And stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll be discussing City of Women by David R. Gillam, which is a change of pace, and I'm really looking forward to that book, because it sounds really interesting. So see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.